The Word of God from 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verses 5 through 7. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Americans believe in family. Some Americans even claim to believe in family values. As an historian, I go back and forth on the idea of family. Some people in history talk like we do about family, but others do not. For example, we read letters to and from Civil War soldiers during the American Civil War. Sometimes the letters are heartfelt, even tender. But I have also read a letter from a young Civil War soldier who let his family know he was going off to war by leaving a note on the door. He was one of the middle children in a family of 9 or 12 or some such number. He put in one of his letters he was so glad to leave home, and army life was pretty good. So did people see family the same way in the ancient world as we tend to view family today? I have my doubts. But even if we think of families in the ancient world as very much like our own, things became very different once the message of salvation through Jesus Christ stepped onto the world stage. Christianity was new. Christianity was a different and distinct religion from all the other religions. There were certain points at which Christianity kind of looked like some other religions, but not in many points. In the world of ancient Roman Empire, where there were public temples to the gods in every city, Christianity said no to such worship. Christianity said no to temple attendance of those other gods. Christianity said no to sacrifices in the temples of other gods. So Christianity often said no to the faith of the family. In the ancient Roman world, there were what were called household gods. There was a shrine to these household gods in every Roman household. Every day or any time of day, family members could bow to these household gods. Lares and Pentes, I think they were called. It's been reported that the statues of domestic Lares were placed at table during family meals. Their presence, cult, and blessing seem to have been required at all important family events. Archaeological and written evidence show their central role in Roman identity and religious life. These household gods would not be allowed by Christians. Christians served one Lord, one faith. So Christianity would have said no to the faith of the Roman household. Remember what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." Jesus knew what he was talking about. Anyone claiming Jesus as Messiah and Lord would separate himself or herself from any Jewish home and any religious Roman home. Jesus knew that his good news would divide the world, Jewish and pagan. Believers, all believers, all Christians were called out of Judaism, or all Christians were called out and away from idol worship. At that time, there were very few people claiming to be atheists. If they were, they had a different name for it. It was a philosophy, Epicurean or Stoic. Atheist is actually a European word from the French and Italian language. I suppose the word used in the ancient world was godless. Godless is mentioned in the Bible, mentioned in the letters to Timothy, usually refers to other religions. Not that they truly do not believe in any God, but they do not believe in the true God. That is what it is to be godless. So Christianity makes an exclusive claim on the life and heart of the believer. Again, we turn to Jesus. In chapter 4 of Matthew, Jesus said to Satan himself, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The Apostle Paul would say that the believers may not eat at any other table but this table of our Lord. Because there was feasting in the temples of the gods. But Paul told those Gentile followers, when you turn to this table, you turn from every other table. So when people converted to Christianity in the ancient world, or when people accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, they were leaving behind the religion they grew up with. One way to talk about that is to say that the first Christians were all first-generation believers. It was such an issue that when a head of the household became a believer, he often decided that everyone in the household, including the slaves, would become Christians. The Apostle Paul states, "I also baptized the household of Stephanas." And he means everyone in the household. The book of Acts reports, "At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately the jailer and all his household were baptized." But generally speaking, that was only true if the head of the household converted to Christianity. Any other situation, you divided the household. Now, everything I've said is all introduction to today's Bible verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1. "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." This passage is in here because it is worth mentioning. It is so new and unique. Here are three generations of faithful believers in Jesus Christ. Do you remember when a photograph of a family with four or five generations was so unique? Now you see those families all the time because people are living so long. Well, the apostle mentions these relationships together because three generations of believers was remarkable. Three generations of believers in the apostles' time was unusual. There probably had not yet been too many instances when anyone in any church could point to three generations of believers in their own family. There is one more reason that the apostle finds this remarkable. We know how children are born, right? We call it procreation. But the church does not grow by procreation of the flesh, does it? The church grows through regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can make more Christians. I have four children. When my youngest was baptized, I praised the Lord. I really didn't think I could hope for 100% of my children being baptized into Jesus Christ. I was hoping I could get 75% of my children baptized as followers of Jesus. But the Lord saw fit to bring 100% of my family into His family. I could not count on that happening, since I don't decide if my children would be believers. Only Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit decide who in my family will follow Jesus. Friends, we here at Daleville Christian Church are not a family by procreation. We are the family of God. We are a family of God made by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. The family of God isn't just a pretty phrase or a hymn lyric. It is a deep spiritual truth. Only our Lord, through His Holy Spirit, can make more Christians. I remember going to a reunion of my fellow seminary graduates a number of years ago. One of my former classmates served in Frederick, Maryland. His church was bursting at the seams with new members. But my friend admitted the church wasn't really growing because all of these new members were simply moving farther out of the Washington, D.C. area. They were transferring their memberships from the same denominational churches they left in Washington, D.C. Even the latest census report says that 89% of workers in Frederick, Maryland commute to work an average of 30 minutes, which means their jobs are in the D.C. area. My friend's church was simply moving believers around. They were not seeing our Lord make new believers by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, now, denominational officials don't want to know how many people joined their churches or even how many people attend the churches. They want to know how many new baptisms the church had. In churches like ours, practicing believers' baptism, that might tell you more about the growth of the church and the activity of the Holy Spirit rather than numbers joining or numbers attending the church. So the apostle is excited to exclaim, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Then notice what the apostle goes on to say. "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." He's talking about the Holy Spirit and goes on to say, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, self-discipline." You perhaps were hoping that this verse, since it is addressed to Timothy, pertains only to him. But notice, did you notice what the apostle said? "For the Spirit God gave us." For the Spirit God gave us. That is you and me. That is everyone who is in Christ Jesus. And the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The Holy Spirit is at work in us, the Church of Jesus Christ. And that brings us to Daleville Christian Church's new emphasis for this year, although I hope it continues. We mentioned it last week. Grands are grand. Grandchildren are grand to their grandparents. Yes? Grandparents are grand to Daleville Christian Church. And so are their grandchildren. Grands are grand. We're all in agreement. And many of you here today are grandparents, and the church is grand to you. The church's job, the church's obligation is to help you as a grandfather, a grandmother, or an aunt, or uncle, or as a mom, or a dad, or a stand-in family member, those who are fathers in the spirit, mothers in the spirit of the family of God. It is the church's obligation to help you communicate to your loved ones what you know about Jesus Christ, what makes church grand to you. These are things you already want to share. You want to share them with your grandchildren, children, nieces, nephews, and it's Daleville Christian Church's job to help you. So this is not a program, it's an emphasis. There are many ways for the church to help you share what is grand in your life. Share with the grandchildren, the church, its Lord Jesus, His Word, the Bible, prayer, and worship. And let me add that some of you are great grandparents or can anticipate being great grandparents. So what are we, the church, doing to help you? Well, we start today. Actually, we already started Thursday with the daycare center. God bless the daycare board and the evangelism team. Today, we have for you, if you want one, a Lenten devotional for families. Now, I'm not suggesting that you sit your child down for 40 days and do everything in the devotional booklet. However, there might be some things in that devotional booklet you would like to do with your grandchild or niece or nephew or whoever. Why? So that Daleville Christian Church fulfills her obligation to you and your family. And Daleville Christian Church begins to reflect what the apostle saw in Timothy, your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. You see, it is important for you to express your faith to your family, and it's even more important that they see in you the faith that sustains you, the faith that empowers you, and the faith that helps you every day. The apostle says that he saw it first in the grandmother and in the mother. Then the apostle saw that faith in the grandchild and child. In the coming weeks, we hope to offer you free advice on sharing the Bible, sharing prayer, sharing worship with your loved ones. As a matter of fact, on March 3rd, we have scheduled an event for you and your grandchildren or niece and nephew or whoever you want to bring to come to Daleville Christian Church Sunday afternoon, March 3rd, 3 to 5 p.m. to play games, have fun, hear the Bible, sing some Bible songs, and enjoy something of what you enjoy in your faith that lives in you by the Holy Spirit. We will be making recommendations on Bible storybooks, what to read, when. We will share ideas on praying with children of all ages. Why? Because it's the church's job to help you. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples, teaching them." We want to take every opportunity. We want to make every opportunity a chance for faith to be shared. This isn't difficult. It should flow from you to your loved ones as easily as the love you have for them. And Daleville Christian Church will help you. Let us pray together. Lord, Creator, Redeemer, and Friend, who is our great God, you stooped down to save us. You came to us in flesh and blood. You made yourself to be born into a family. There were parents and brothers and sister. You faced the stress and strain of daily life and a hard life in the ancient world. We praise you and we thank you It gives us strength and hope to know that you have gone before us, you endured, you prospered, and you overcame, and you were obedient, even to death, that has brought us life. Lord, some of us here can testify to our own grandparents and their faith. Some of us may not be able to do that. But you, Lord, have given us the Holy Spirit of power and love and discipline so that our legacy will be your legacy, a legacy of faith in and through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.